This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, it started.
All right, thanks, Desiree. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Cross-QHC Working Group on Internet Governance conference call on the 22nd of December, 2015. Today, we have quite a few items to go through. But let's first start with a roll call, please, Desiree.
Okay. In the room, I see Del Drake, Claire, unfortunately I don't know your last name, Oksana Pridkolka, and Marilyn Cade. And for staff, I got myself and Venny Markovsky. And, Nigel Hickson just arrived. And for the chairs, I got Olivier Crepin-LeBlond and Rafik Damak.
Fantastic, Desiree. Thanks very much. Olivier Crepin-LeBlond speaking. Do we, have we missed anyone in the roll call? I'm not hearing anybody shout their name out. So that was the first thing. The roll call is complete. Now, the agenda at the moment would start with the WSIS plus 10 review, then the ICANN 55, then the OECD ministerial on the internet economy, and then an update from the WSN conference, and finally any other business. In a discussion with Marilyn Kay just a moment ago, she proposed that we move the update on the WSN conference at the beginning, so immediately after the review of action items, so as agenda item number 3. Are there any objections, or are we all okay with this? Seeing no response, I take it that this is fine. So the agenda is adopted with item 6 moved to between 2 and 3. And therefore, our next thing is to review the action items. And the only action item that was in the list was for Vinny and Nigel to circulate the WSIS plus 10 papers and drafts as they emerged over the next few days, and that, of course, has been completed. So no other action items than that, which means we can now move to immediately agenda item number 3, and that's the update on the WSN conference. And you will have noticed an email that I forwarded to the mailing list. There has been an internet conference, internet governance conference. It's the second year that the Chinese government is running this conference, and ICANN, it appears, or I'm not sure whether actually it's ICANN that has sent people to that conference, basically Fadi Shahadi and a number of board members, or perhaps they have gone under their own accord, and that's one thing which I'm not aware of. But for this, I gather maybe we can start Nigel Hickson will probably know a little bit more and provide us with the facts of how board members and the ICANN CEO ended up in WSN. Or is it WSN? I'm not even sure I'm saying it correctly.
Well, yes, I mean, good evening. Probably Bill Drake is much more expert than I am on this conference. As you rightly say, Olivia, it's the second year that the Chinese have boosted the internet governance sort of conference. This particular year, the conference moved. It was going to be in November. It was moved to December to allow it to coincide with another event taking place. The president of China was also speaking, so it allowed a fairly high-powered opening session to this conference with both the president of China and the Russian prime minister. It was a conference that people were invited to. A number of stakeholders attended. We had an internet collaboration call earlier, which is our sort of call that we do on the sort of technical community. And Mike Nelson reported on this on the conference. He attended. George Stowski, went as well, as you rightly say, and Fadi Jihadi went, and with a couple of members of the ICANN staff from the Singapore office. So, yes, I mean, they went as ICANN. People go and, well, I suppose people can go in a personal capacity, but the ICANN board and the ICANN participants went as ICANN. I think there were a number of other governments represented and a number of other associations. The IEEE certainly was represented there. I think people have seen the links that have been provided with the statement that was made, the initiative, the Wuhan initiative, etc. So I don't think I need to go over the details of that, but clearly a very well attended event, 120 countries, 2,000 plus people, so a fair event, and I think, well, as I understand, the idea is to make it an annual event.
Thanks very much for this update, Nigel. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and I now open the floor for comments and questions on this topic.
Yes, it's Meryl, and I do have comments and questions. At least, I'm sorry I'm in such a noisy area, so I hope you can hear me. But the statements that were attributed to the CEO of ICANN do not appear to me to be approved by the ICANN board. And I'd like to understand, you know, I know people attend in their personal capacity, perhaps off the step out. People attend in their personal capacity, but there seemed to be a statement from the ICANN CEO in his official capacity, and I'd like to understand where the endorsement for that came from.
Thanks for this question, Marilyn. Olivier speaking. Nigel, is or anyone on the call able to respond to this?
Well, Olivier, Nigel Hickson, all I can say is that, I mean, it's not for me to comment, really. I mean, as I say, the ICANN, Fadi Jihadi and other staff and board members attended as ICANN in the conference. And, I mean, whether they cleared their statements with the board in advance, I don't know. I don't think it's usual practice to clear conference speeches with the board, but that's not something that I'm privy to. So clearly, if there's any statements that are made in relation to this, then we'll make sure that they're immediately circulated. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel, for this. I did notice that Bill Drake had put his hand up briefly. Bill, did you put your hand up, or?
I did.
Okay, for some reason it went into a microphone. Yeah, it disappeared and went into a microphone. Okay, go ahead, Bill. You have the floor, Bill Drake.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
Okay, good. Hi, everybody. I understand the concern that Marilyn is expressing, and just as a general matter, I mean, obviously it's never been the expectation that there would be, you know, micromanagement of the ways in which people representing ICANN engage in these things. But at the same time, you know, we've spent so much time talking about how we wanted to, you know, the hope was that the one way this working group could be useful would be to be a bridge between the organizational leadership and staff on the one hand and the community on the other hand with regard to internet governance events, issues, representations, et cetera. And here you have a meeting that, in my mind, is really quite sensitive because, you know, the Chinese are making a real play to impact the shape of global internet governance dialogues and to legitimate certain approaches, and of course they have every right to do so as a sovereign state, but because they are quite a important player in the environment, one would think that in approaching these things, there would be a developed strategic idea about how this is being approached and what kind of messaging to convey and all that, and that this could have included some interfacing with the community. And as far as I know, there was none. And so it's not surprising then that you would have people expressing concerns about what was signed on to and on what basis people were operating there, et cetera. So I would only suggest or request if, I don't know, Nigel, if you were there or not, but if somebody who was there could at least maybe provide some kind of a outcome, a little bit of a report or something from our standpoint collectively, I think that would be useful. It would have been good to have done it before the meeting rather than after, but nevertheless, I mean, it's never too late. I mean, I think the whole process was conducted in a very stage-managed way, which is how the first one was done. For a while, they were saying that attending the meeting meant agreeing to the outcome documents, and there were objections made to that, and they dialed back on that a bit, but still, clearly, the outputs that came out were generated entirely by the host. And most governments from the OECD countries sent did not send high-level representation. And you saw that the handful of heads of state that were there. So it just seems like this could have been better in the way it was done. And, okay, it's behind us, but let's learn from it and, at a minimum, try to get some kind of stock-taking going, because this is going to be an ongoing process. They're going to do this every year. Fadi's the co-chair of the preparatory or the advisory group. Various other people that folks know are engaged. And I think interfacing with this process is important. So let us hope that something could be done to report out and then plan going forward. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bill, for this. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I'm quite eager to get moving in our agenda, which is so packed, but I do realize the sensitivity of this topic. I am leaving the floor open. Are there any other comments from the floor? Or any response from Nigel, from staff?
I mean, just very simply, thank you, Bill. Sounds very sensible what you said. I certainly wasn't there. I think the relationship that we've established on this group should have facilitated the fact that we would have circulated some information in advance about this. I was not privy to this, which is not an excuse, but certainly we ought to think about how we do it next time. And certainly, if there is a report, which I hope there will be, then we'll certainly circulate it.
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I certainly also have, I would say, rather strong concerns about the way this has been done. This appears to be another Net Mondial all over again. The concern I have specifically has been very well expressed by Bill, in that whilst the intentions of the Brazilians might have been to accept multi-stakeholder systems in one way whilst playing on both panels, China has been very clear on its supports, and certainly the document to which has come out of this conference, and the added cherry on the cake, which appears to point out that Fadi Shehadeh is going to lead this initiative, and I'm not quite sure if I got this right or not, with absolutely no mention of multi-stakeholder governance and a strong government-led multilateral governance component is an absolute concern. And I'm not really sure whether it might well be that the group that ended up in China got somehow stuck in this position. They were conned. I don't have other ways to say it. Maybe not conned. No, let's not use conned. They were trapped somehow and weren't quite sure what to do. But I find it very concerning that this group here, which is meant to be providing a good bridge between the community and the board and staff, was not used in advance. We have people who are based in China. We have a lot of experts in internet governance out there that might have been able to provide further information before the group went there, and I'm just baffled as to why this is not taking place. But anyway, that's the bottom line. Any other responses? And then I think we have to move on because we've already spent a good 15 minutes on this, or a good 10 minutes. I don't see any hands up. And Marilyn, are you still on the call? And Marilyn appears to have dropped off as well. Okay, so I think then we can move on. Just as an action item, then let's just record that Nigel Hickson will come back to the working group with I guess there will be a report on this, and we can discuss it in our next call. And I note that Greg said here, Fadi is trying to define post-ICANN Fadi. I certainly hope that's not the case, because that would be in direct conflict with his current position. So this might not be what we want. So, Nigel, you're okay with coming back to it?
Yes, indeed, yes. And of course, and I think I'll also recirculate the links. I think Bill had already done so, but we'll do so after the call, which sort of sets out the initiative statement and also the membership of this initiative sort of steering committee to which is organizing the next conference. Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Let's now go to agenda item number 3, and that's the WESIS Plus 10 review. You have all seen regular updates on the mailing list. Thanks to both Vinny Markovsky and to Nigel Hickson. Thanks very much, gentlemen, for having kept us up to date with the latest information. We've also had some forwards from other mailing lists that have treated the matter. But what matters is the outcome. And so what is the outcome of all of this hubbub? I'll hand the floor over to either Vinny or Nigel or whoever else wishes to speak to this.
I'm online, although I may show up as a strange phone number on the screen.
Vinny Markovsky, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. First of all, thanks to everyone who's been participating in the WESIS processes. When you were saying, you know, thanks to the for the information, I was thinking, welcome, come back in 10 years again. But the reality is that the WESIS Plus 10 outcome document is a very good document from the perspective of the global internet community and from our smaller group as well. However, it does not mean this is an end to a process. The WESIS process, which started almost 20 years ago and ended up with the WESIS in 2003 and 2005, is an ongoing process. It's one of those UN processes which seems that they will never end. The outcome document you have seen has a lot of items related to the development of information society. What's important in our environment. A couple of points. First, while the Tunis agenda was talking about international management of the internet, that it should be multilateral, transparent, and democratic, this one talks about just management. The word international is removed of the internet, and it says that it should be multi-stakeholder, multilateral, and transparent and democratic. So these are the two big changes, and when I say big, I mean that the words in these documents matter a lot at the UN. So having the word multilateral and multi-stakeholder in the same sentence is a big deal. Now, the second big deal is that that's the only place where you see the word multilateral. Everywhere else in the document, they're talking about the about multi-stakeholder. And that's also something that is worth noticing. The other thing which may be of interest for this group is that, and by the way, I think multi-stakeholder is met 8 times in the whole document. I saw somewhere on the list a two-digit number, but it's not a two-digit. The other important issue from the final document is that they couldn't really figure out, the member states couldn't really figure out what to do with enhanced cooperation. So they decided to continue with the creation of a working group to the CSTP, and that will have to be formed by mid next year, like July 2016. The first meeting of the CSTP is in January in Budapest, so my guess is they will try to have the same chair of the CSTP working group, which is the Hungarian representative, Peter Major. Some of you may have seen him in the last few years around CSTP, IGF, etc. The next thing about IGF is the continuation of the IGF 10 years. That was unanimously. So that was good. The next thing which some of the folks on the call might be really interested is that there are some items in the text talking about human rights, which is there is a whole chapter, but also one of the recognition is that human rights online should not differ from the human rights offline. So in other words, that was one of the things which was very controversial. I mean, the whole chapter of human rights was very difficult to negotiate, as well as the one on cybersecurity, or as it is called, building confidence and security in the use of ICTs. I spent a lot of time at the UN in the last 6 months, and I have to tell you that the most difficult part was to stay quiet, because some of the conversations in the rooms were clearly based on lack of enough knowledge about the way the internet is working. But we decided some time ago that the slogan that we used was very short and very quite on the spot. It was, "WISI is not about ICANN." So that's why we are not driving the attention towards ICANN, but at the end of the day, the bilateral meetings and the conversations that we had in the hallways ended up in a document which is widely recognized by every party, actually, as a successful document. The whole meeting ended with a General Assembly two-day speech, where I had the honor to speak on behalf of ICANN. We also had ISOC and some civil society organizations. We had Avi Doria speaking also. It was a great moment of showing respect to the other organizations. I'm happy to report that we publicly, in front of the General Assembly, thanked ISOC, the regional internet registries, the broader internet community, and some of the staff who were not mentioned in other speeches, namely of UNDESA people who actually spent 20, can you hear me?
Yeah, of course.
people spending like 20 and plus hours every day working on this document. So that's in a like 5 minute cover of the WSIS plus 10 review. One more item. It's important to note that the countries which were very active were India. Somebody is talking.
Let me know when you're done.
I don't know who's talking. Olivier, is someone talking?
Could this be Greg Shatton, maybe? I think he's muted now. Continue.
Okay. So the countries that are worth noting their participation in the negotiations are Brazil, India, China, Russia, the European Union, obviously US, but also Canada and Australia, Cuba and Ecuador. I'm speaking out of my memory. Maybe I may miss a couple of them, but these are the ones which were really active and contributing to the discussion. So and maybe I forgot China, but they were also very active. G77 as well. The group countries were really strong, like the European Union, G77. They were great negotiators. That's all.
Thanks very much for this, Vinny. Olivier Crépin-Ablanc speaking. I have a quick question and waiting, of course, having opened the floor, if anybody else has questions. I have a question on the process and how many changes were needed to the document, because before the last week started, there was a starting draft that had been put together based on previous negotiations. How much of the draft was changed during that week? Was there
much?
Because having seen the prior document and the document there, I didn't see that many differences.
Well, the difference was actually in the process of negotiation. So sometimes it may be a word in a paragraph. There was a difference in the number of paragraphs if you just count the paragraph numbers, but there was also a lot of negotiations on concrete words in the text. And if you have seen, I don't remember now whether this was distributed, but there were some interim draft texts where they were full with square brackets and different coloring, and it was it looked pretty messy before the final draft was published. And then the final draft one accepted, there was also one or two more edits because of editorial change, minor edits. So it was a work in progress until almost the very last moment. But the real negotiation text was agreed on Saturday early morning. So we had a whole Sunday to deal with, to get the text. And once it was published very late Saturday evening, then the next edit was done, I think, on Monday. So the interim texts it's impossible even to understand what the negotiations were, because some of them would say which country suggested what, but then, everything is in square brackets. So it was all discussion until the very last moment. And the whole thing was decided in really, really small groups of countries which had key items to negotiate.
Thanks for this, Benny. Olivier speaking. I don't see any other hands up at the moment. The other question I had was, what's the next steps from here? First, noting there was a question from Oksana Prehotka on the chat asking whether this was a binding document, and Nigel Hickson very kindly replied and said it's a UN resolution, so it has no legal force, and therefore no implementation or requirement to implement per se. But where do we go from here? What's happening next?
Well, next, of course, is the fact that at the UN every year they have I wouldn't call it the habit, but it's just the way it works, is that there will be negotiations of different IT-related and Internet-related resolutions. So that means we'll be watching what's happening there. And we'll see how it develops. Now, of course, you also have in February the ITU Council Working Groups, which are meeting in Geneva, which will be deciding what to do with regards to their role in the implementation of the Wishlist Plus 10. I mean, the ITU is mentioned several times, UNESCO as well. They will continue with the Wishlist Forums in the next 10 years. The IGF will continue. So there will be a lot of discussions taking place. Also, one thing to remember is that the fact that the government agreed on a language in New York doesn't mean that they don't have the right to deal with their own national policies. So we'll be watching what's happening, and what Oksana is asking could be, while it's not, there is no, it's not a binding document, but there is a way to use this document to kind of point to the authorities in every country, you know, this is how the global development of the information society is envisioned in New York. So that's my take out of it. We'll know more somewhere in the beginning of January once people start getting back from vacation time at the UN and seeing what the agenda will be there. And maybe Nigel can add a couple of lines too. And Oksana, the discussion in Geneva is mid-February.
Okay, thanks for this, Vinny. I have a question, but I see Bill Drake has had his hand up, so let's hand the floor for Bill Drake.
Hi. Just a couple of comments. I mean, while it is true that the WISIS is legally non-binding, I wouldn't dismiss its significance in terms of how it frames agendas and institutionalizes activities, both in the UN system and to some extent at the national and regional level as well. And certainly a lot of the UN agencies that are touching these issues will now go off and follow up on work programs and things like that, that they will cite as being informed by, legitimated by, called for by what goes on here, et cetera. So the document has to be viewed in the context of an ongoing stream of positionings and activities and things like that. So I think it is significant. But at the same time, I think it's also interesting that at the same time that this was going on in New York and the thrust of the discussions and the outcome of the document moved in a direction that we find congenial, some actors that have different preferences were organizing other things at the same time that they could control. And I think actually what you could start to see here, if you're not already seeing it, is something that's kind of parallel to what's happened in international trade, where, you know, the efforts to sort of do everything on a broad, global, multilateral basis have, to a large extent, sort of, you know, the scope within which one can reach agreements like that has narrowed. And if you look at what just came out of the WTO meeting in Nairobi, I mean, they managed to do some stuff in agriculture, but a lot of other stuff really now has moved into plurilateral, regional, bilateral deals, et cetera. And I think in internet governance, the reality is that there simply is not the kind of global, the possibility of global agreement on principles or any of the big things that people talk about, the need for, you know, a security treaty or things like that. So increasingly you're going to see coalitions of the like-minded, and you're going to see actors going off and pushing particular agendas. And we see in right now, post-WISIS, both Russia and China positioning and collaborating together around the notions of digital sovereignty, national internet segments, sort of making the internet more responsive to territorial jurisdiction and control in the ways that traditional telecommunications arrangements historically were. And I think that's an interesting thing, and I think that's going to be going on for a while. And it's something we might want to consider talking about both, I mean, if we wanted to do something different and new when we get to talking about the IG session, this could be an element of it. And then at the same time, we might also think about looking forward to May if we want to do something again at the WISIS Forum in Geneva. We could propose a workshop again like we did last time. We had a quite good turnout last time, I thought, and I thought it was quite useful to have the conversation that we did about the IANA transition in front of 100 kind of ITU-related kind of people. So I'm just putting on the agenda that, A, we should keep an eye on what's happening at this kind of broad multilateral level, because I think it ripple effects in a lot of ways, but B, there will be a lot of activity that moves out of that that kind of context, and we have to be prepared to engage it, even if those processes, as per Wu Zhen, are not transparent, inclusive, and so on, which is more difficult and more challenging. But we should think about how we, how the community might be engaged there. I hope that made sense. I'm a little tired. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bill. It's Olivier speaking. That absolutely made sense. I appear to have lost internet connectivity for a while. Oh, no, it's back on now where I am. So I couldn't see if there were any other hands up, but that has now updated. So I don't see any other hands up. The point that you made with regards to those two parallel tracks taking place is particularly interesting, I mean, the certainly the thing that I have seen with, I mean, it just seems to be forum shopping in some way. It's like if you don't get the answers that you want to get somewhere, then you might as well start a different parallel track and see if we can get those answers where you are. Let's have Nigel Hickson next.
Yes, thank you very much. And just to really be very brief and to touch on what was being discussed before. I've got so many windows open, I keep losing my paragraphs. But in terms of next steps, as Venny has said, the resolution sort of sets out what's going to happen, if you like, and what's going to happen is very similar to what has been happening in the past. So every year the CSTD, this is the Committee on Science and Technology Development, works on the so-called WISIS resolution, which it then passes through ECOSOC and goes to the second committee, where, as Venny said, it's then discussed as a resolution on ICT for development, which includes various paragraphs on WISIS, and this is a yearly exercise, and that continues. That's it's spelt out in paragraphs 71 to 77 in the resolution. In addition to that, we have the annual the WISIS forum, which doesn't have a sort of status. It's welcomed in the resolution, but the WISIS forum that's hosted by the ITU, but also in cooperation with the a number of other agencies such as UNCTAD and UNICEF and WHO, and the various agencies come along and talk about the action lines that they're responsible for. As Bill said, that's the forum that last year we did a side event at, and no doubt that could be on the agenda again, depending on what people think. In addition to that, as Venny has mentioned, specifically this year, the CSTD has to decide, or is asked in the resolution, to set up a working group on enhanced cooperation, which has to be multi-stakeholder. So we would hope to have representation on that. In the past, Marilyn was on that working group, and so was ICANN. That working group sort of went into abeyance, but is clearly going to be reactivated in some guise at the CSD plenary in May. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Nigel. Olivia speaking. And I was going to touch on the CSTD re-enabling of that working group. So that's good. That's been covered. And I think we need to move on, but what I was going to suggest then is for Bill to send his suggestion regarding the WESIS forum to the mailing list so we can have a wider audience for this. I think it would be an excellent idea. I agree with Bill that it was a real success. We had quite a few people in the room at the time. Perhaps it was to do with the topic, but perhaps at the same time there is or there could be an interest in a follow-up regarding that topic or other topics. But I would, you know, suggest that others in the working group would make their suggestions on the mailing list on this. Nigel Hickson, your hand is up again.
I'm sorry, yes, I'll take it down. I do apologize.
Okay, thanks. Nigel, actually, whilst you're there, just a quick question regarding the process to be able to stage an event or a side event at WESIS Forum. Is this something that you will be handling, or is that there must be deadlines and so on for this?
Yes, I'd be very happy to facilitate. Well, to try. I wouldn't say to facilitate it. To try and facilitate it. Yes, I mean we are ICANN are partners again of ITU at the WESIS Forum. That just means we sort of cooperate together and discuss things from time to time. So we can certainly see if we can have a I can't see there'd be a problem, but we can investigate that once, you know, once some ideas are being exchanged on the list or whatever. Thank you.
Okay, that's great, Nigel. Thank you. And I note that Veni Markovsky has also put a link to the ITU schedule that provide us with some details on this. I suggest let's move on then. Let's go to agenda item 4. ICANN 55, high-level meeting and internet governance session. A few things to first learn about. What is the high-level meeting about? Who will be there? Is there any ability? And we've heard earlier the possibility of this working group meeting with some participants of the high-level meeting. I'm not sure who can provide us with the update on this. Is it Nigel again?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm an expert necessarily on this. So the high-level meeting is the what generally takes place now is an annual annually at one of the three ICANN meetings in a year. We try and hold we try and encourage the host to hold a high-level meeting. The last one took place in London, so this one is in Marrakesh, as you rightly point out. It's a meeting hosted by hosted by Morocco in this case. It will take place on the Monday afternoon, so there'll be a traditional opening on the Monday morning, and in the afternoon there'll be this high-level meeting, which is completely open to all participants. If you recall, in London there were a number of speeches and panel sessions, and I understand that's the idea for the session in Marrakesh on the Monday afternoon. There'll be panel sessions at which various ministers are asked to speak, GAC members, etc., and various discussion. I can certainly endeavour to circulate an agenda when one is developed. Well, I think there are draft agendas, but I'm just not sure what state it's at. So that's it. But it's essentially, it's something that's arranged between the host, Morocco, and the GAC chair, Thomas Schneider, with obviously ICANN sort of doing some of the legwork.
Thanks for this, Nigel. Olivier speaking. The question, I guess, then comes as to whether this working group would be interested in doing something or relating somehow to the discussions that will be held there. Are there any thoughts or suggestions on this call about this? I mean, I guess one step would be to obviously get in touch with the GAC chair and find from the GAC chair what the program is about. So So, yeah, as Bill said, yeah, we need more information. And I'm not sure, having actually spoken to the GAC chair informally a few weeks ago, I'm not sure that there is so much cast in stone yet. It's a pipeline of things, and certainly the GAC at the moment is still very heavily involved with the ICANN accountability and INS stewardship process. So that's something that's maybe coming up next. Maybe in January, one could get in touch with the GAC chair and find out what's going on, find a little bit more information. So perhaps as an action item for the co-chairs of this working group to get in touch with the GAC chair in January and ask for more information about the high-level meeting. When it comes down to the Internet governance public session, I have a feeling we haven't got very much time to discuss this right now. Are there any additional suggestions from our last call or since our last call? Has anyone given any thoughts about this, what we would like to touch on in the Internet governance session? Now, that's a good point, Bill, what was said on the last call. I don't think very much was said on the Internet governance session. We looked at the format, and we were going to keep the format the same. As far as the actual dates of the session were concerned, we were going to make sure that it was not going to clash with any of the GAC involvements, and we needed to find out a little bit more about the overall structure of the meeting, since this is the first time we're now in a Type A meeting that could be slightly different in its scheduling than the meetings we've been used to so far, where the first day is the opening session and the high-level topics or high-interest topics. And then the second day is constituency day, and the third day is something else, et cetera, et cetera. So we might need a bit more information on that, too. But Bill Drake, you have the floor.
Okay. I'm looking at the schedule, and I see that the Internet governance session is on Thursday from 9 to 10:15. I assume that's the public Internet governance session, because it's in the Atlas room, before the NIANA transition session and before the public forum. So we will have a shortened session this time, 45 minutes, which means that we have to have the chairing has to be concise, the number of people on the who are serving conversation starting roles needs to be fairly limited, and we need to, I think, at this point, have a different substantive focus than we've been having for a while. During 2015, we spent a lot of time going over WSIS plus 10 over and over, and I couldn't tell, aside from the usual suspects, the Internet governance mavens that we all know and see every month at different meetings around the world. I couldn't really tell how much we were actually engaging the audience. So I think we might want to think about doing something that is a little bit more provocative and a little bit more outside the bounds of what we've been doing before. And so I would suggest thinking about some of the issues that I mentioned previously, and this ties in with Wuzhen as a process, but it's also the substantive point that I've raised in a couple of email messages about the kind of growing desire of some governments to view the Internet as something that needs to be amended or adapted to territoriality, and what that might mean, and going forward, and
how the ICANN community can interface with that issue. As you know, Olivier, I've been doing this big project on internet fragmentation for the WEF, and we'll be putting out a paper at Davos on that. And there will be, I think, a bunch of other activity that's related coming from the Russian and the Chinese sides. So we might, that's one topic that we might consider sort of like teeing up as something for the ICANN community to think about, because I think it does tie in with the a lot of issues related to the DNS and IP addressing as well. So that was just a general point. And then the other thing is to maybe look forward to the OECD ministerial, which will be focused on the notion of an open internet, which is the sort of obverse, converse, obverse, I forget which, of a fragmented net. And so, I mean, I think those two kind of, the thematic kind of spin could be sort of from Wuzhen to Mexico, you know, like, the Marrakesh meeting will be midway between the Wuzhen meeting and the OECD ministerial meeting, which should be having a very different flavor. And perhaps that's a way of sort of framing that could be interesting to people. Anyway, I'll just stop there. It was just finished thoughts.
Thanks for this, Bill. It's Olivier Crépin-Ablanc speaking. Bill, I have a question. How would you focus this so that it's actually within the bounds of the ICANN mission? Because the wider internet governance issues are fine, but it has to do with the overall mission of ICANN and how it affects ICANN one way or other.
As I understand ICANN's mission, it is ensuring a stable, integrated internet based on the RUT that is maintained under the existing arrangements, and that the possibilities of that being toyed with and altered in significant ways does have implications for ICANN. There's implications for DNS, has implications for how numbers are done. There have been a lot of proposals to change the way numbers are allocated. And there are questions about the interplay between the narrow remit of ICANN and the context within which it is nested. So I personally think that these questions are of enough relevance to the ICANN community that connecting the dots between Wuzhen and Mexico is at least as plausible as a topic to talk about in our 75 minutes as any other topic that I can imagine. I think if we do another thing on WSIS plus 10 or something like that, we're going to all fall asleep. So we'll stop there. We can do it. As Peter says, we'll thrash this out online.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for this, Bill. It's a good start. It's Olivier speaking. It's a good start, so thanks for this. And as Peter says, let's discuss the agenda ideas online. But I quite like your suggestions here. I don't see any hands up. Let's go to number five, because you have touched on this, the OECD ministerial on the internet economy. Can we just have a five-minute rundown of what this will consist of?
Nigel. Nigel here. I'll be very, very brief because we can certainly touch on this again. So as was mentioned earlier, from time to time the OECD have ministerials on sort of ICT and economic issues. Notably, there's been two in 1998 Ottawa. Sorry, 1998 in Ottawa. There was a ministerial on the information economy, and then in Seoul in 1998 there was an information on sort of internet issues. and now we are in in 2008, and now we're in 2016, and we're having a ministerial on the internet economy. The actual title of the ministerial is Meeting the Policy Challenges of Tomorrow's Digital Economy, and it's broken down into a number of forums that are looking at such issues as economic and social benefits of an internet openness, which I think should be an open internet, consumer trust and market growth, stimulating digital innovation across the economy, improving networks and services through conversion, the Internet of Things, new markets and new jobs in the digital economy. I'll put the draft agenda on a link so you can see it. So this is a ministerial which it will be presided by the President of Mexico. It's taking place in Cancun between the 21st and the 23rd of June. ICANN's involvement is through the technical community in 2008 in Seoul. OECD set up a technical community and also a civil society representation at their meetings and also a business representation. So when we attend these OECD meetings, and this ministerial is being organized by the Committee on Economic Development, ICANN are part of the technical community and take part in these meetings. And therefore we're involved along with ISOC in sort of providing input into the OECD on potential speakers for sessions and issues like that. I mean, of course, the governments themselves have the controlling hand on this. It will go through the OECD Council, which is made up of the 32 governments or whatever. In addition, on the first day of the ministerial, so the ministerial 3 days, and on, I suppose, day zero, as we would term it, the technical community and the civil society and the business community will stage various events, and the technical community will be having sessions on things like the Internet of Things, and we're working up an agenda for that, which I can also circulate. And Bill,
okay, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for this, Nigel. And Bill indeed has put the agenda on the chat, on the Adobe Connect chat. So we've got the he's put it twice there. So that's fine. Any other comments on this or anything to add from anybody in the room? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. I note that it is the top of the hour. So we probably need to end this connection. This conference. The connection is probably nearly ended too. So it's in any other business now that we are in. And I was going to add two things then in any other business. First, a repeat of the action items for Desiree to make note of. The first one that I've recorded is for Nigel Hixon to come back to the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance with details of the report on the WSGN conference. And Bill, please step in to let me know if I'm saying this wrong. It's WSGN, isn't it? WSGN? I have no idea. So that was one. And the second action item is for Bill Drake to make his suggestions on the mailing list about having a session at the WSIS forum. So, Bill, if you could please email the list, that would be great. We can then follow up by email. Have I missed any other action items? Desiree, did you record anything else than these two?
Oh, I also have the co-chairs talking to the GAP chair in January.
Correct. Fantastic. Yes, please. And that would have a January timeline. So, because I'm well aware that Thomas Schneider is particularly busy at the moment. So January timeline, at some point in January, the co-chairs would be getting in touch with the GAC regarding the high-level meeting in Marrakesh.
The question then is, when do we want our next call? I gather we have the holiday period, and then sometime in January we should start our work again. Are there any preferences? I would say either the week of the 4th of January or the week of the 11th of January for us to have our first call of the year. It really depends on how people are taking holidays. I know Bill Drake is putting the week of the 11th. So I don't think that there is anything happening specifically before. I know that the WEF is taking place in the third week. The World Economic Forum in Davos is taking place in the third week of January. Sorry, the fourth week, whichever you call it, the week starting the 18th. So maybe we can have the call on the week starting the 11th. And perhaps then, 11th and 3rd, yeah. So let's have a call for the week starting the 11th. And Desiree, if you could send a doodle out with the usual timing. I don't know, it's sometime in the week, so either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Good roll of timings.
Olivia, if I just may, those days are the CSTD intersessional, not that's that relevant, but if we had the call on, say, the Thursday, then we could at least report on what's happened at that meeting. That meeting is on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Thanks, Nigel. It's Olivia speaking. I was hoping for such an intervention. I wasn't aware of this CSTD. Maybe we need to also update that calendar. Let's add an additional action item, which is to update the calendar of events, which I know that Marilyn Cade has been working on with Alex Dance on, and we probably need an update on that as well for 2016. And so the doodle would be for the 14th of January. That probably looks like it. Yeah, 14th of January. Doodle of several timings. Excellent. Well, thanks very much, everyone, for this. We're only 4 minutes behind the official end time of this call. It's been very, very informative. And I'd like to wish you a happy holiday and a happy new year. Have a good break and see you all next year for another wonderful year of Internet governance in the ICANN world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.